On today's episode, me and Deacon Harold talk about a manhood derailed. We talk Barbados, trains, and manhood being off the tracks. Today's episode is a bit thought-provoking and promises to make us men a little bit uncomfortable. But guess what? We need that. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome back to Ave Spotlight. Today, as I've been doing in the past, I want to highlight some of you, the listeners, and in particular, one listener out of Virginia Beach. Again, Virginia Beach is really knocking it out the park with these comments. But this man, from what I observed, is a hard worker. He's a man's man, active at the gym, active in the faith, present in the home. He turned on the show and he got hit with emotions. Emotions started to move in this man. Although I know he was probably like that officer and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, willing that teardrop to go back in his eye. He had emotions. It moved him and inspired him. So thank you for that vulnerability, my man. And thank you for listening to all my subscribers and listeners. You keep sending those comments. But speaking of manly men, I want to introduce to you our guest today. My guest is known throughout the world as the Dynamic Deacon, degree from Notre Dame, a master's out of the University of Dallas. He is the host of Beacon of Truth for EWTN Radio, an award-winning author, and my Barbadian twin. Welcome, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hey, how you doing, Oscar, man? Good to see you, bro.
Good to see you too, man. Last time I saw you was at the NEC, and you were joyful, man. And I love bumping into you. How you been?
I've been well, my friend. I've been well. Not seeing you enough though. Although I've been hearing about you. In fact, my event manager still has a couple of teenage kids, and they said they went to an event that you spoke at. You were one of the speakers. They said you were definitely their favorite speaker.
Oh, wow.
Out of everybody then. So I was like, yes, awesome.
That is really cool, man. Well, it's really interesting because I absolutely, you know, love you. We brought you to Virginia Beach one time. We chopped it up during an event one time, and it was just like, it was easy peasy from there. But for the sake of, for the show, let's get to some of the nitty gritty of this spotlight. I want to know, because this is meant to be kind of like that caffeinated drink in the body of Christ right now. What is your favorite wake me up caffeinated drink?
Well, the thing is, I don't drink coffee. I just never like the taste of it. And I just drink water, honestly. I mean, but if I'm going to have a drink, it'd be something like Coke Zero or something like that.
Man, you're number two. You're number two. You're the second person to drop that Coke Zero. See, I drink coffee, but I'm not a coffee drinker, right? Because there is those who drink and enjoy. But I drink it because that's the adult thing to do in an office, I guess, at 2 o'clock. But I don't have a favorite drink. But that's awesome. All right. There's another thing that you and I probably have in common. You were born at my favorite place, and I know I'm just an adopted child of this place. My fellow Barbadian, my Bajan, man, like, tell people about Barbados, because they don't know anything about Barbados. Some of them don't, they don't have a clue.
Yeah, so Barbados is in the Southern Caribbean. It's the largest island in a chain of islands called the Lesser Antilles. It's the island furthest east in that chain, not too far off the coast of Venezuela in South America, and the neighbor of Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
Yeah, so Barbados, just not too long ago, reached full independence. So it was a British colony for many, many years, and then it became independent, but was still part of the British Commonwealth, you know, which has 30 countries or something like that, which is part of, including Canada, which is still part of the British Commonwealth. But Barbados even broke out of the Commonwealth and now is completely independent country.
Yeah. I saw the follow-up on all of that and I was like, wow, this is monumental for them. and they have another, you know, they're celebrating their Independence Day coming in November as well. Like, I mean, awesome, 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 awesome. So to all my listeners from Barbados, big shout out to St. Patrick's Cathedral right down there in Bridgetown and to St. Dominic's out in Christ Church. And where were you born in Barbados?
Yeah, so I was born in Bridgetown. We lived in Culloden Road. And I was baptized at Our Lady Queen of the Universe in Black Rock.
Yes, my man, out in Black Rock, man. I remember that place. We used to worship out right by Verdun. There used to be an area out there. But like, man, Barbados has my heart. I wish that Chiffette would make its way into the United States so I could get me some rotis, but it doesn't seem like it's going
to
happen.
Oh, yes.
So to all of my Bajan listeners, cheese on. Okay. It was coming, bro. It was coming.
Yeah, make his word or what, yeah?
Here we go.
He's on, bro.
Another thing that we absolutely have in common is our love for trains.
Yes.
You are a train man.
Yes.
In fact, anytime I hear the train, I think of you.
Yeah.
Because you are a train man. What is it about the trains that just fascinates you, man?
Well, when we were young, my mom used to take us to Coney Island in New York. And so we used to take the bus to the PATH train to the World Trade Center, get out and walk over to Penn Station and take the subway train over, you know, all the way out to Coney Island. And I loved trains ever since I was little and I can remember. And I just fell in love with them. I remember in Penn Station, I used to just go and watch trains. You know,
And
then my scoutmaster, I was in Boy Scouts when I was younger. I'm an Eagle Scout. And when I was younger, my scoutmaster also had an intense love for trains, and he shared that with me. So he would give me his old train magazines and old timetables and and books and things like that, and really encouraged that love within me. So to this day, I get excited every time I see a train. My favorite train, growing up, it was the GG1.
Right.
And it was SD40-2. And now I think it's the SD70 ACE, which is the ones I kind of have an affinity for now.
Bro, whatever you just said, like, it just sounded like an algebra equation. I had no idea. I knew it. I knew when I was going to bring up trains that this was going to happen. This is awesome. I actually, just for the sake of this conversation, found three of my most like, oh snap moments, like interesting facts about trains. Number one, I didn't realize that railroads have their own language.
Yeah.
Like when they communicate, they have their own lingo. I assume this much because truckers have their lingo as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I thought was awesome. One locomotive weighs as much as 108 hippos.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. I was like, what? Where's that coming from? And then another one, trains have cruise control.
Yes.
What? And that baffled me.
You can't really use that unless they're flat running. Because if you're going up a mountain grade or something like that, you really can't use cruise control. Or if you're going downgrade and you're in dynamic braking, you really can't use cruise control there either. Because what you got to be careful is that you don't want to bunch the slack, because you can break a knuckle in between the cars on the train.
Wow.
So it's really, the engineers really have to be skillful in making sure that the train is moving in such a way so as not to damage any of the 300 tons of cargo. That's traveling behind the train. So, yeah.
You know, what's interesting about this whole train talk is we obviously know that their purpose, they are deemed one of the best forms of land transportation in terms of getting goods from one place to another. We know the importance of these freights running on the track and I understand now why a cruise control can or will not be used in certain situations. But you know, this is where I'm going to segue into our topic, because with that being said, we know that there's an importance of carrying a load. We know that there's an importance of the weight in which one can carry. And we know that there's an importance about staying on the track. And I think today, the segue is manhood has gone off the tracks. It's a bit derailed in 2024, and we've kind of seen this train wreck happening for a couple generations now in full swing. So, like, I want to hear from you. I consider you to be an expert in all things manhood. You have an amazing book with, you know, the spirituality of manhood and so on as well. But I want to get your opinions on this as we segue to this content. Is like, what are your thoughts on manhood and their disconnect from God today?
Yeah. So my book on male spirituality, Behold the Man, the first line in the first chapter of that book is I say that the Catholic man is an endangered species, right? So what do I mean by that? You think of endangered species, the animals that are endangered species list, they can trace their path toward extinction back to some extrinsic cause. In other words, a cause outside of itself, right? So overfishing, overhunting, illegal trapping, things like that. But the Catholic man, we're destroying ourselves by our own free will choice, right? So we choose pornography and sex outside of marriage and abortion and choosing a culture of death, spiritual laziness and lethargy. We've become timid. We stop leading. We no longer desire holiness. My wife, she's the spiritual one. She'll do the training with the kids. My job is just to work, bring home the money, crack a beer, watch the game. We've gotten complacent. We've abdicated our responsibilities. We were created for greatness, but instead we freely choose to be purveyors of immorality and mediocrity. Sadly, that's what's happening. Look at the way we're portrayed on situation comedies. I don't watch television, but on situation comedies, men are what? We're buffoons.
Yeah.
We're idiots. Fathers are jokes. Like even on stupid Disney teenage shows, fathers are just, they're completely mindless idiots. And that's the way the culture is portraying us today. And what's happening? Women are seeing that and they think, well, this is the best that I can do. You know, and so they settle for less instead of a man that's going to take them to heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the crazy thing is that as we enter NFL season, we realize that the pews are empties, but the TV ratings are high. You know what I mean? It's like no one's going to miss a game, but a ton of people are going to miss mass during this time. More people are focused on their fantasy leagues than they are an eternal league, if I want to be cheesy about it, right? Like No one's really thinking about heaven. And you mentioned something that kind of like resonated with me. It's, you know, this depiction of man as buffoon. Now, we see it. We've been seeing it since like probably the 90s, right? Because I remember shows like Family Matters, right? The husband there was a strong man. He helped the household and he was there. But then you get these sitcoms that you're right, just absolutely derail. They make man look incompetent and unable to function. There's an alternative or an alternate world in which I feel men, it's either they're checked out, they act in a way that's very like checked out, or they're so checked in that they have this machismo that they can't shake.
Yeah.
It's either they're the man of the household occasionally, or they are the everything in that household. And how do you speak to that machismo? You know, like I call that the heresy of man, right? Where it's just like, I'm going to rule over this house with iron fist and all.
Yeah, see, I find that a lot of that kind of attitude seems to be cultural. You know, there's Asian cultures and African cultures and Hispanic cultures. So it runs the spectrum where they think that manhood means I'm the boss and I tell people, my wife, what to do and she listens to me. But here's the danger. See, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, wives, be submissive to your husbands, right? And so you would think that would play into the machismo. But the word submissive, the word there in Greek is hupotasso. It's a military word. Soldiers who arrange themselves in divisions that place themselves under the mission and director of a leader who is typically a general. So Paul is saying, wives, place yourselves under your husband's mission. Mm. What is his mission? Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ show his love for the church? He died for her. He gave his life for her. That is the proper understanding of authentic male spirituality and fatherhood. We are the heads of our families because headship, leadership, and authority is rooted in service, right? In the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 9, what does Jesus say? I mean, they're arguing amongst themselves, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Jesus says, the greatest among you is the least, is the servant of all. And our model as men is Jesus Christ and Christ crucified, right? Paul says, I want to know nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. And Galatians says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the model. Now, going back to your point about machismo, if you look in Genesis chapter 3:16, so Genesis 3:15 is that famous verse, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. The verse after that is the temporal punishment for the woman. You shall bring forth children in pain, and pain you shall bring forth children. But then it says, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Mm-hmm. And the word rule over in Hebrew is malshal. It means to dominate like a tyrant. See, so any man who uses this machismo, that is a sad and tragic effect of original sin. That is not God's plan. So machismo has absolutely nothing to do with God's plan for authentic male spirituality and fatherhood.
And it's rough because trying to communicate that to man is like you have to unlearn a behavior that has been passed down from generation to generation.
Yes.
And how do you unlearn that? Well, you die. You die to that inclination of like lording over and being the tyrant of. It's hard because people don't know what true death to self means, you know, especially within the marriage. It's called the sacrament of service because of the very notion of these two will be serving each other until they die. How do we communicate having men turn to God as that model in their life, and most importantly, as model of father in their life?
Yeah, so we have to model that behavior ourselves. And it's hard. I mean, you talked about being in Barbados. I mean, last time I was home, you know, I got criticized because on a television show, I talked about how tragic it is that so many men father children, but yet they don't get married. And, you know, they have all these children living in all these different places, and they're not getting much of their father's time. They're living with their moms and things like that. I mean, that was my experience. I never knew my grandfather, you know? And so you're right. You have to break out these generational cycles. And the way you do that is to foster a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So you have to get to know Christ intimately, you know? And sometimes you use language like that. Oh, that's not manly. Of course it's manly. Look, Jesus was crucified naked. You know, yes, we see depictions with the loincloth on and things like that because we have to, you know, we show dignity and respect to our Lord. But if you study Roman crucifixion, the person crucified was crucified naked because they not only wanted to exact the most extreme amount of pain in the crucifixion process, they wanted to strip you of every last ounce of dignity that you had left as a human being. You know, so we have to see ourselves on that cross. Just the way Jesus broke himself open and poured himself out in love for his bride, the church, we men have to break ourselves open and pour ourselves out in love. A lot of people will see that as a sign of weakness, but Paul contradicts that in 2 Corinthians. He was afflicted with something. We don't know what it was, but God said to him, it's when you're weakest then that I'm strong, right? It's when I'm weakest that I'm strong. Because Paul recognizes in my weakness, Christ is the one who gives me strength. You know, and there's nothing unmanly about that whatsoever.
None.
You know, people keep asking me all the time, how are you able to do all the things that you're doing and traveling and speaking and running several businesses? And how are you able to do that? Same thing. I die to myself and I live for Christ, plain and simple. The more men that can do that, because here's the thing, Oscar, strong men, strong families, strong family, strong church, strong church. We take back this culture. But it has to start with godly men.
Amen. 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 And I know that there's a lot of moms listening. And trust me, ladies, we're going to have our ladies' time next episode. But today I want to talk to the men that you're there. You might want to tip a hat to this episode and say, hey, thank you, because my man's going to now listen to this and hopefully he'll change his mind on things. We pray for the men out there. We know that it's rough. You're getting a very countercultural message right now from Deacon, and it might seem very nonsensical in your worldview, but unfortunately, our worldview is not our heavenly view. You know what I mean? we need to get ourselves really focused on heaven and guiding all those in our responsibility to heaven. We are that train that needs to stay on the track, getting from point A to point B. And we can't just cruise control through life knowing that it's not going to be safe every time, right? We can't just sit back and watch things happen.
And one thing I want to make sure I mention here, Oscar, is that we need each other.
Amen.
You know, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, Paul describes a Roman soldier's uniform, right? Gird your loins with truth, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the spirit, armor of salvation, helmet of salvation, shod your feet with the gospel of peace. But if you look at that description, there's one piece of the body that's not covered, and that's the back. Because the way the Roman soldiers fought, they expected the person fighting next to you to protect your back. That's where we get the expression, I got your back, comes from.
Absolutely. Right?
And so we need each other. We need other men. We need to be part of a men's group. Even Jesus needed help carrying his cross. Right. So what makes us think we could do this by ourselves? So we need the support of other men, that personal invitation to brotherhood and friendship. You know, a lot of men, I just found a statistic, 1/3 of men don't have a close friend. Another man is a close friend that they can call friend.
Amen.
You know, that's tragic. You know, that's tragic. I mean, even my situation here where I live in Oregon, I don't have any, I mean, close friends that are men. I mean, I belong to a men's group and, you know, I have men that are friends for sure. But no one in this state where I have a close relationship with. I mean, I have other friends like, you know, like you or Father Donald Calloway, or other people that I consider good friends or close friends. But no, man, I'm okay with that because I know that there's a support network of men that have my back. You know, if I get off track, they're going to call me on it. You know, if I say something, if I get blasted for saying something with the heart of the church and people didn't like it, and I'm feeling a little despondent, they're going to lift me up, you know? So we need men like that in our lives. So I encourage every man out there to become part of a men's group and to really see that as a way to grow in deeper holiness and love with Jesus.
Amen. Community, community, community. Deacon, if you were to give that one last wake up call to men today, an espresso shot. So we're talking, this is going to be a little bam, wake them up move. What would you tell them if they're listening today?
Yeah. See, here's the thing, men. We've become too comfortable. So what you should do is look at a crucifix. If you want to take your relationship with Jesus Christ to the next level, you've got to get uncomfortable. Right? And it's in that uncomfortableness that you will find your mission. You will find your purpose. You will find your calling. Because it's not about you. It's not about your pride. It's not about your ego. It's all about Jesus Christ. And the more we can move in that direction, you will see the clarity of thought. You will see things happen in your life that you never thought were possible because you've surrendered to the love and to the will of God.
Praise God, man. Deacon, as we sign off every spotlight with an injection of hope for people. So I'm going to ask you, what is bringing you hope this week?
Well, I listen to a lot of music, right? And so one thing that's been standing out for me is thinking about God as the divine composer, right? Mm. And recognizing that we are just instruments. God's the musician. And what we should strive to do is be finely tuned instruments in God's hands so he can use us for his glory.
Amen. Amen. Listen, my listeners, you already know what I'm about to say. Jesus is the light of the world, and where that light is, darkness will never prevail. Let that be the hope for your week, that no matter what you're going through, the light of the world not only got your six, but got your front and got your head and got your heart, and that light will never, ever go out. Thank you, Deacon, for being with us. My people in Spotlight, a ton of love to all of you, to all my men. If you feel a bit uncomfortable, well, praise God, because this comfort is going to bring you holiness. And ladies, if you got a little bit offended by the word submission, we good. I got you. We're going to have someone on that's going to talk a little bit about that in our next episode as well. All right. God bless you guys so much. And Deacon, you the man. You keep chewing, man.
Yeah, God bless you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode. As a special treat for my listeners, If today you get anything from Ave Maria Press, you get a 20% discount. Just make sure to use the code SPOTLIGHT.